0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we round off the final week of the Top Flight World Cup break. If Josip Juranovic is to leave Celtic, he's done his valuation no harm with an impressive showing as Croatia knock out Brazil on penalties. It means he won't be back, neither will Borna Barisic, as the Scottish Premiership resumes next week. And this weekend it's over to the SPFL Trust Trophy and the Sky Sports Cup final between Hibs and Rangers Women. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans.
Neymar scores in extra time. Petrovic has Croatia's only shot at goal in 2 hours to equalise in extra time. Brazil hit the post with the final penalty kick. Croatia hit the jackpot. Josip Juranovic, I think, the first Scottish bass player ever to take part in a World Cup semi-final. How much drama do you want? How much drama can you take?
Don't get me wrong, he's had absolutely no time to check that fact, and it's probably wrong, but it sounds good, Cammy Bell. And there we are. We're finding a bit of Scottish interest in the World Cup semi-finals because Juranovic plays today and stars, by the way, and Borna Barisic part of the squad as well, and he will have an extended stay in Qatar as things stand.
Yeah, again, fantastic for Croatia. And Juranovic is, for me, starred throughout the tournament. I think he's been really, really good for Croatia. His attacking threat that he gives them is so positive up and down that line. And yeah, the further he gets on in this tournament, the value for him goes up, whether Celtic want to sell him or not. But listen, it's all positive for me. At the end of the day, Celtic will have the decision if the money comes in, if they want to sell him. But yeah, really, really positive for Croatia today.
Come on down then, 0141 951 1025. What's your point tonight? This is your chance to have your say with Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. Get your thoughts in. Don't forget, on this week we've been giving away tickets to, or we've been offering tickets, I should say. Every caller who makes it on air gets into the hat for a pair of tickets for a tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row back in the late 90s. So all you need to do is come on, make a point, and you go in the hat. And either you're a Celtic fan and that's a great night out, or you're not and you stick them in the Christmas card and be a very popular friend or relative this festive period. 0141 951 1025. What is on your mind, Celtic fans? What did you make of Josip Juranovic's performance? Has that just cranked his valuation up a little bit if he is going to leave? Or maybe you've still got forlorn hopes that he stays at the club. Either way, it looks like Anthony Ralston will play when things resume. And Rangers fans, who's playing at left back for you? That might be a better question, with Hibs coming to town on Thursday night, because Yilmaz, last we checked, was still injured, and Borna Barisic is not ready to return from the World Cup yet. So what do you think of that? I saw some speculation, some Twitter chat today about Glenn Kamara. Is he the latest player to be linked with a move away from Rangers? What would you make of that, Rangers fans? Is he one you'd be desperate to keep? Is he one you would want to cash in on? And anything else that is on your mind, this is the place to share it. 0141 951 1025. Cards on the table, Hugh Keevans. Before we go any further, you have been getting wined and dined.
Correct.
At the Cash for Kids lunch this afternoon.
Yep.
You've turned up in here wearing a Christmas waistcoat. What Cammy Bell,
amazing,
and me and the listeners need to know: will you still be here and awake and everything okay by 8 o'clock?
Without question.
Good.
Because I've enjoyed the Brazil-Croatia match.
Mm-hmm.
I'm enjoying the chat about Josip Juranovic. I am amazed at the chat about Borna Barisic. I could play fullback for Rangers against Hibs. I could get a team out of the Radio Clyde newsroom who would beat Hibs.
Do you believe him, Cammy? That's my question to you specifically. Having assessed his, having given him a quick fitness test,
I'm assessing his waistcoat here. It's absolutely brilliant. What a waistcoat that is. I'm loving it. No, Hugh seems
think
in,
he's
good,
all right.
In good form. Mm-hmm. At the moment.
At the moment, he said.
We'll see. 0141 951 1025. Come on, get your thoughts into the guys. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. And we're almost there, Cammy Bell. We're almost there. We've made it to the final weekend of the Top Flight break. It'll be back before you know it. Think of all those conversations about what we were going to discuss, and will this show stay on. We're nearly there.
nearly there and nearly back to our beloved Scottish football. And again, it's looking forward to Thursday night for Rangers Hibs, a massive game for Rangers. They need to start well under the new manager, and it'll be interesting for the Rangers fans to see how Michael Beale sets his team up. First and foremost, the style of football he's trying to implement. Don't get me wrong, I think it's going to take a period of time to actually phase it in, but you'll get a taste of it on Thursday night of what Rangers are going to look like going forward.
And there'll be a sneak preview, I guess, Hugh. On one hand, we're always told don't read anything into friendlies because they're just friendlies, but at the same time, any Rangers fan going to Ibrox tomorrow will be desperate for the smallest glimpse of what Michael Beale can bring, good or bad.
Exactly. We're now reading things into throw-ins where Michael Beale is concerned, because this man has to hit the ground running. He has to do well in the friendly. He has to give people positivity. Then he has to wipe the floor with Hibs on Thursday night and hope that Celtic drop points at Pittodrie, and we're off and running. We've missed our domestic football, but we're coming back with a bang, and there will be pressure on Michael Beale from the get-go.
01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. You can also head there and see a picture of Hugh in his festive waistcoat. And I knew this. Graham Allen says Terry Butcher reached a World Cup semi-final while at Rangers. I told you he hadn't researched it. I told you he was out at the Cash for Kids lunch. It's going to be one of those nights, right? So let's get through it together. 01419511025. Let's kick things off with James in Kilsyth. James, you're a Celtic fan. What do you make of the performance that Josip Juranovic put in today, and does that boost his transfer value?
Well, I thought the whole Croatian team were absolutely fantastic, but Juranovic was an absolutely brilliant game, and it definitely puts money, it definitely adds money on his value. A lot of people are saying, you know, he hasn't been doing it for Celtic this year, and he's been, you know, kind of off the boil and things like that. But, I mean, that's understandable. He's got the World Cup coming up, you know, and he's wanting to play in it, and it's a big thing for anybody, you know. And I'd be sorry to see him go, but I haven't said that. You've got Tony Ralston there, who's come on tons, you know, and is a very capable deputy. So, I thought Juranovic was brilliant. I thought the whole creation team were brilliant, you know.
Yeah, they were. And they were. And listen, we'll speak about the game for sure in more general terms. But Hugh, this last couple of weeks has been dominated by, I think, almost an acceptance from every Celtic fan who calls in that they probably will cash in on Josip Juranovic. That was accelerated when Celtic signed another right-back in Alistair Johnson. To be in the quarter-finals at all, and then be in the semi-finals at all, but having done so by putting in the type of performance he did today against Brazil of all teams, does that please the Celtic finance staff?
Peter Lowell will be doing cartwheels along London Road on the 1st of January all the way into Celtic Park to begin as chairman and set in motion the sale of Josip Juranovic. The World Cup's a showcase. That's what clubs hope will happen. You hope that your player has a terrific tournament, as Juranovic has done. When Alan Shearer on television opened his mouth to say, "I wouldn't like to play against Maeda," I thought, oh, his value's just gone up. So it's a showcase, and Ange Postecoglou does his work, gets in Alistair Johnson. I presume on the basis that he knows Juranovic is going.
Yeah, and I mean, Cammy, like we said, today almost must take that to a different level. We've got James on the line talking about he actually thinks Juranovic maybe hasn't had a brilliant season domestically, which would be fair. If you were a potential suitor, though, if you were a potential club looking to buy Josip Juranovic, is it safe to say that being in a World Cup semi-final probably carries more weight than a slightly underwhelming night against Ross County or whatever?
Yeah, listen, he's had moments. I think he's had a decent season. He's had moments this season where he's made sort of mistakes that have cost goals, but he's getting experience in Champions League, so teams are taking all this into consideration. But listen, getting to a World Cup semi-final absolutely bumps up your value. And for me, teams will be looking at him just on the back of his performances in the World Cup. That's what teams do. That's what the top teams in Europe will be looking at, is players in the World Cup that they think that they can get at a snippet price. I'm not saying it's going to be a snippet price for Celtic fans. They're probably going to, I don't know what the figure would be. Would it be around 10 million they might get for him? But for teams down in England, that's not a lot of money. So, yeah, I think teams will be looking at his performances in the World Cup, which have been fantastic, And there will be bids in January. I'm absolutely sure of that.
Yeah, I mean, Hugh, we always just throw fees around, and it's a bit pointless, right? But it's interesting to some people. I think he was signed for £2.5 million, something like that. He's got, is it 4 years left on his deal? I mean, £10 million sounds like good business because it's four times what you paid for him. But if you can even, does today, does the next couple of weeks, my goodness, the guy might go and win the World Cup. Who knows? Does that allow you to nudge it up?
I think Cammy's got it spot on. I think £10 million would fit the Celtic model. Buy him, make a 400% profit, and let him go. The further you go in this tournament, you're narrowing the field down. You're getting clubs looking at a smaller number of players. At the start of the World Cup, it's all a bit baffling, 32 teams, but now we're down, we're getting, whittling it down, and Juranovic, by virtue of beating Brazil, by virtue of being the best player on the park, is the main attraction.
Would 10 million do it for you, James, or is this game today and maybe what comes ahead and got you thinking a bit higher?
Well, I would think it would be higher than that. You know, I think you've got a World Cup semi-finalist. The guy, I mean, it's not as if he's just been a bit part player. He's played in every game. He's played every minute of every game. You know, he's not been substituted. He's played in there, and he's there on merit. And he's in a team that were, you know, runners up in the last World Cup, the semi-finalist this time. You know, and you know, I would reckon 10 million is cheap, actually. You know,
when you reckon that Kieran Tierney went for 25 million and had never made it to a World Cup.
You need to remember the ages though. Again, Juranovic is 27 year old. Yeah. So again, teams buy guys who are younger for a lot more money because you can see the value growing and they can sell on, resell.
This is Juranovic, why I'm always loathe to compare players because there's so many different circumstances. And I can hear people, Frimpong was, you know, young and untested and went for 11 million. So Juranovic surely goes for more than that. Very tough. It is very tough. You can only sort of go for a ballpark, can't you?
I think you've got to. The age is a massive thing for clubs, especially for the guys who are the financial guys at the club, because they're looking at potentially resale of them when they sign. Mm-hmm. So Juranovic, if he goes to a European team, the guys in the finance departments will be saying, can we resell this guy? Mm-hmm. And yes, listen, he's still at a really good age, but for me,
he's not got another big move after that. No, you wouldn't imagine.
No, he's coming into his peak, his football. That's what he's coming into, is probably his best 2-3 years coming up of what he's going to produce, and then he'll taper off, or his value will certainly taper off. So that's why I say the 10 million mark would be a good figure for Celtic.
What do you think? I mean, overall, James, it was quite a game, wasn't it? I know we tend to put the Scottish spin on things, but overall it was quite something.
Aye, well, I mean, if 10 years ago when Luka Modric was 27 and you say you can get him for £10 million, you'd have got a right bargain, wouldn't you? You know, so, you know, I think with Juranovic, you know, you don't know how long he's going to go and you don't know how long he's going to play. He could play as long as Modric, you don't know. So, but you're getting a quality player and you're getting a guy, you know, that if you were in England, you're £10 million. They're paying £10 million for players that they're not even going to, you know, sit on the bench sometimes, you know. They're just getting them to buck up the squad, you know. So, I don't know. I think 10 million would be cheap. I think they should at least that, 10 million and half of that again, you know, at least.
That's a fair point. You see some of the money that's getting thrown around. Hugh Keevans, what we would imagine, you know, is certainly there'll be no Josip Juranovic against Aberdeen.
Nope.
On the 17th of December, that's a week tomorrow. Celtic then play the 21st at home to Livingston. We don't know if he goes on to reach the final. So depends if there is a move there, if there is one that's round the corner as everyone expects. Do you ever get to see him in a Celtic top again? Maybe he squeezes one in, maybe he squeezes one or two in before the window opens and before the move happens. But it seems like he's in a bit of an interesting trajectory right now in terms of getting the right cash in at the right time.
Swan song, Ibrox, January 2. It could be that kind of scenario. You know, we're talking glibly here about how much, 10, 15, whatever. But he has to get back here. And I have to think that the purchase of Alistair Johnson was done because Ange Postecoglou and Mark Lawwell, and now Peter Lawwell, all know that there will be offers for Juranovic and he will be sold.
Listen, the good thing is for Celtic, the ball's in their court. He's got 4 years left on his deal, so if they don't feel as if the price is right, then they can say no. Absolutely say no. And I'm pretty sure the guys at the top will have the figure that makes sense to them, and they're in a good position with him.
You know, you can't keep accumulating players. You know, you've got Alistair Johnson, you've got Juranovic, you've got Anthony Ralston, you've got Greg Taylor, you've got a fullback factory now at Celtic Park. But there comes a point where people have to go.
Yeah, it's a strong hand is what Cammy
means.
But
your hand is even stronger because this guy has just been man of the match against Brazil in the World Cup.
Yeah, I was looking at that. I'm not sure he got the official man of the match award from FIFA.
Oh, I don't bother with that.
He certainly put in an impressive performance. The reason I checked is because I thought he might, to be honest. It was that type of performance. I'm not sure he did in the end. I'll double check. Cammy, does doing it against that level of opponent, because you can talk about quarterfinals of the World Cup and semi-finals of the World Cup, but you can sometimes get to those stages without facing any top teams. You just can, by the way the draw opens up for you. But I think it was your, was it Jurgen Klinsmann on the television talking about Juranovic up against Vinicius and saying, you know, he's showing him who's boss here, and they were sort of waxing lyrical about him on the TV. Does that all add to it?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. You can get to these positions in the tournament if you get the draws right, but they've faced the team that were favourites for it. And again, probably the team with the best individual players for me on show at the World Cup. And Juranovic has dealt with everything that he was thrown at tonight and put in such a good performance. But as I said before, I feel as if he's done that throughout the campaign as well. It's not just been he's turned up tonight. Yeah. He's turned up the whole campaign, done really, really well. And that's why he'll be on the radar of so many teams.
What do you think out there? Thank you to James, 01419511025, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. Rangers fans, no Borna Barisic today, but he will stay at the World Cup. So who are you nominating to play left back against Hibs next week? And we'll take more of your thoughts on Josip Juranovic. Get your calls in right now and we'll do it next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here at 01419511025. And don't forget, every caller who makes it on air tonight goes into the draw for a pair of tickets to a tribute night with the Wim Jansen Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. It's at the Armadillo in May next year with lots of special guests from that team, from that era. So if you're a Celtic fan, what a night out that'll be. And if you're not, I'm sure you know one. So why not put a point to the panel and you go into the hat for the tickets, and we'll draw the winner at the end of the evening. Let's bring in James, who's a Celtic fan in Milton. What are you thinking tonight, James? Lots of chat about Josip Juranovic and what his valuation now looks like after today.
Hi, it's just a bit of radio in there. I listen to these every night, and I'm just a bit surprised at the valuations of the guy, you know what I mean? I think he's worth more than 10 million that Cammy's saying, because Cammy was saying about how he's 27 now. Actually, I think he's only 26. He's still to be 27.
Nah, he's 27. He's 27, James. Not that it matters too much, but just for accuracy, he's 27.
He's only about 3-4 years older than Tierney, and he's had a superb World Cup, and he's in the semi final, and I've not noticed that any other really great sort of right backs at this World Cup. So I think he holds a wee bit of more price than that, to be honest with you.
Listen, these conversations do get you in bother, Cammy Bell. I'm not sure you were set in stone saying 10 million, it would never be a penny more. You sort of threw it out there, but the guy's starting to win you round a bit. When you think it's some of the money that other leagues throw around, and in particular, maybe now, maybe Scotland's not such a soft touch anymore. When you look at some of the, and again, I acknowledge they're different because they're younger, but because of Bassey, because of Tierney, because of Patterson, maybe we as a market generally now command a bit more.
Yeah, I get that. Listen, I take the point, and I threw the 10 million just as a general figure. Yes, they possibly could get more. For me, it's up to what Celtic demand. It's how they market the player if they are wanting to sell him, how they approach the situation. I'm pretty sure they will get bids, so it's up to them to then say, look, if a bid comes in for 8-9 million, absolutely not. You're miles off of it. So it's the way that they respond and what they value the player as. Listen, we can band as much as we want. We could say 15-20 million, but ultimately, it's when that money comes in on the table, it's what Celtic want, what the board there want to bring into the club. So Yeah, listen, I totally appreciate they might get 15 million for him. Yeah, I absolutely get that. But and he's a player that's playing in the World Cup semi-final, or going to be playing the World Cup semi-final, has had a really good tournament, which has boosted his valuation. But I still stick to that 27-year-old. I'm not saying he's old or past it. I'm far from saying that. I'm just saying
the next sell.
Yes, the sell on the resale is important.
You look at Nathan Patterson, hardly played for Rangers, never mind played in the World Cup. And he went for 11, 12 million, rising as well.
Yep.
And then you look at Jeremy Frimpong, 2 minutes at Celtic and went for 11 million to the Bundesliga.
You're breaking my heart here because it's so tough to compare players. Those guys were younger. But I'm going to do it as well. I mean, I remember Celtic, did they bring in, was it 13 and a half for Christopher Ayer?
Yep.
We can drive ourselves nuts with this stuff.
No, totally. And I totally take everyone's point on that. And what I would say is all these guys are a lot younger. And listen, Premier League teams, if you look down south, Premier League teams spent phenomenal money on 15, 16-year-olds. So they'll spend millions of pounds on these guys, 18-year-olds who are playing in lower leagues, and they just need to try and develop them.
As I say, there's something at the back of my mind that keeps saying to me, Alistair Johnson. He's in there because Celtic believe that they will get the right money for Josip Juranovic.
Do you feel, James, I wonder, would you have taken 10 million before this tournament? And now that he's in the semi-final and he's starting against Brazil, is that the bit that really boosts it for you? Or would you have wanted more anyway?
It's just knowing the basis of the tournament, although maybe about 60% of it is. I mean, he's a cracking player before he went to this tournament. And the thing about the resale value that Cammy's talking about there, see the likes of Liverpool and your Manchester United and your Bayern Munich, when they buy a player, they're not considering about the resale value. They're just looking at the player and the qualities that the player's got and how they will fit into that team that the likes of these teams. So they're not even considering about how much money they're going to make on that player.
I think you're both right, because the well-run clubs do. The ones that have got transfer strategies do. But then, to be fair, James is absolutely right. There are some big, reckless clubs out there who splash money on old players.
Absolutely, and I get that. But any of them clubs that James has just banded out there, do you think they would make a bid for him? Man United, Bayern Munich.
Well, to be fair, Hugh, I don't know how much truth in it, because Josip Juranovic's agent's been the busiest guy in Scottish football, it seems, since the day that he got here. So Man United has been mentioned. I saw a journalist from was it the USA earlier, some chipping in and talking about how Chelsea were taking a look. You just don't know, really, nowadays with so much social media speculation.
Man United have also been linked with Jeremy Frimpong. So you know,
sign them both, and then Celtic would get a sell on for Frimpong and the money for Juranovic.
That's a dream deal. But you have to think that there will be offers on the 1st of January. You have to think that he may have played his last game for Celtic. And it's great business. Either way, no matter how much money he goes for, it will represent a massive profit for Celtic. Yeah. It's good business guaranteed, isn't it?
But how good? By the way, this conversation might not be over. He might score the winner in the World Cup final, and you'll be all phoning in to tell us he's worth 100 million. So let's wait and see how we get on. Thank you, James and Milton. What about John, who's a Celtic fan? John, I take it today's done the valuation no harm.
Hi, guys. How's you? Cammy and Gordon.
As you say,
I'm on here quite a lot, and I'm a big fan of Juranovic, but as I spoke to the producer there, I think, as we all were agreeing there, when they signed Alistair Johnson, the Celtic knew this was going to happen. And but the point is, what Cammy's saying, I know maybe Cammy's saying about the sell-on value, right? But Man United have just went out and spent whatever it was in that Casemiro, who's, I think, 30 or 31. So, is that guy, the previous caller was right in a way, but these big clubs don't really care. But honestly, I think the bidding will start at 20 million for Juranovic, and not a penny less. And as you said, Gordon, the ball's in Celtic's court here. I mean, because he's a 4-year contract. So what do you think, Hugh?
Any guess is as good as the next one. I mean, you can start at 10, you can give it 20. You mentioned Kieran Tierney, £25 million to Arsenal. you know, it's all a wee game at the moment. But come January the 1st, it's a serious commercial business for Celtic, and they do stand to make an outstanding profit on a player, and their player trading model is moving very nicely. Thank you very much.
So it seems guaranteed, John. I mean, and you said you've always been a fan. Did he even surprise you today with that level against Brazil, or did you think he had that in him?
I obviously thought that. And I remember, Gordon, I spoke to you one day, I think before the bench, can't remember who Celtic were playing in the Champions League. And I said, because I've never played him at sweeper, because he's as a complete footballer. No, but as I say, I think he's always had the football in him. But I just think of the day, I didn't see the last 25 minutes, but I saw the first near of the 70 minutes of the game, man, and I thought he was absolutely brilliant. You know what I mean? He didn't give the bad boy Vinicius Jr. a kick. But the good thing, Shu, I'm glad as well, I think we'll agree on this one, Shu, a bit. It's great to see a guy with the histrionics and the theatrics of Neymar getting put out. It's brilliant. I mean, I'm a big Brazil fan, but a guy with so much ability doesn't need to be the way he is in a football park, sure, you'll agree with me.
Well,
the Celtic fans might feel that way about Neymar.
He scored a very nice goal today, and he's an outstanding player. And, you know, for people of my generation, to watch Brazil go out of a World Cup to Croatia, a country of 5 million people, is quite a moment, and it shows you what can be done speaking in a country of 5 million people. But for the moment, the big story in town is Juranovic. How much? And behind the scenes at Celtic, I suspect they know where he's going, which league he's going to, and all that has to be worked out is how much the value has risen on account of what he did today.
And as a man who once saved 3 penalties in one game, Cammy Bell, has Alisson been on the phone yet, just looking for tips for next season?
Yeah, listen, it's one of them ones that Croatia's penalties were phenomenal. Yep. and kept that. Again, it's about the mentality going into such a high pressured situation. They were fantastic penalties. And unfortunately Alisson couldn't get near them. So yeah, if he wants to give me a call, give him a little bit of advice.
We can phone in here, by the way, if he's listening. Here's something that's a bit of a bugbear, right? Why, when a penalty shootout is not guaranteed to reach the 5th penalty, I think as everyone knows, Why do teams keep their star man? What's Neymar doing? Sitting around,
yeah,
waiting on, presumably waiting on this fifth penalty to take the glory.
I think it's madness. I think you put your strongest penalty taker first to get off to a good start, and then it goes backwards again. You've got to have the guys who are confident and penalty takers from 1 to 5, not from 5 to 1. Because as you said, you could them guys aren't then going to get to hit a penalty if the first
seems
people.
Like Spain brought it's
too player. Obvious though, right? Like, I mean, if everybody who watches football ever can get that, why does it still happen?
Well, it's such a lottery. Because Spain brought on a player specifically to take penalty kicks. He took the first one and he missed it. Mm. So, you know, the penalty taking at this World Cup has been pretty bad. But Croatia's penalties today were textbook. They were magnificent. They were the ultimate test of nerve, and they passed with flying colours. And I said to you, Gordon, when they took the first one, why isn't Luka Modric taking this?
Oh, yeah, he eventually chipped in, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, again, just to praise Croatia, even the penalty taking was magnificent.
They restored my faith a bit. Casemiro's was magnificent for Brazil as well, but there was a couple of not so good ones. Let's bring in Robbie and see what his take on all this is. Robbie?
Good evening, panel. I'd just like to make a point to Cammy and Hugh.
Go for it.
Cammy, I'll make it to you first and Hugh can chip in. I'll tell you what it is, Cammy. It's really to do with the valuation of players playing in the Scottish League. And I heard you talking about Juranovic a few minutes ago, and that guy that came on and they mentioned 20 million. You didn't shoot him down in flames. I am never worth 20 million. The reason that I'm actually making this point is because when good players are in Scotland, Edward, when Morelos was at his best, Kearney, do you think that we undervalue our players? Because the cap, whenever these top players are ever talked about, when it's Edward and all the other guys, it's always a cap of about 25 million. We never ever discuss our players for any more than that. Maybe 30 now and again, but it seems to be this cap. When you look at Tierney signing for Arsenal, the Arsenal fans in the first couple of months were saying £25 million, what, the bargain of the century, they were saying, absolute bargain. That's what we based on the Arsenal. It was all over Twitter, bargain for Tierney. I can't believe we got this guy for £25 million. I understand that we play in the Scottish League, but I'm going to follow on to a point that a former Bologna scout made in the summer. It was actually on the BBC Five Live podcast that even made there, and it made a few articles. This guy says that the Scottish League is criminally underrated. And if this Bologna, former Bologna scout is coming out with all that, I mean, his word's going to be getting about Italy. He spoke about Lewis Ferguson. I think he was the guy that scouted Aaron Hickey.
Yep.
But he's away from Bologna now. And what he was saying basically is, he says the Scottish League for players is absolutely criminally underrated. I can't mind the guy's name, but he's a former Bologna scout. And what he spoke about regards to Scottish football is the most positive I've heard about Scottish football out with people like Hugh and all the journalists who, you know, talk up our game here. Out with Scottish football, he's the most positive guy I've ever heard speaking of. I can't mind his name.
I'll look him up for you, Robbie. I'm not sure either, but I wonder what it would. What does it take then, Cammy, to go through that 25? If you like, if that is that our ceiling at the moment? Do we still underrate ourselves, or is that now improving with the Patterson, Bassey, Tierney, etc.?
I think it is improving. I still do. I totally agree with Robbie. I think we do underrate our players, but ultimately that's up to the clubs. So the clubs need to be strong in these situations. This is why it's going to be really interesting to see what Celtic value Juranovic up, because we can band any numbers, 25 million to 10 million, but it's ultimately what they're happy with. I would imagine, by listening to a lot of callers since I've banded the 10 million pound mark, that anything under 20 million, the fans aren't going to be happy with. So, but it's up to the clubs. For me, they need to demand these figures. I do feel as if Scottish football is undervalued, because there's a lot of good players, and recent track record of players leaving Scotland for decent money have went and been successful as well.
Hugh, I'll repeat it, because we are comparing apples and oranges. It's one of my bugbears. It's tough to do, but if we use Kieran Tierney as the high bar, because he is 25 million, I think, was he 22 by that point? I think he had played a number of times for Scotland. He'd played a number of times in the Champions League. He had won a number of trophies. So you wonder what sort of profile a player would need to go for more than that from Scotland just now, because we're not just going to go from 25 to 45, are we? You know, it's going to be that incremental situation. Maybe someone who fits all of those Kieran Tierney boxes, except for him as a goal scorer or as an attacking player, maybe. Is that when you start to see the fee be more?
I think our league is being recognised as a place to shop, when you consider that Lewis Ferguson's at Bologna, that Hickey went to Italian football, is now in the English Premier League. Ramsey is at Liverpool. We are recognised. The transfer market is about what a club is prepared to offer you for a player. Juranovic is now at peak Juranovic, and Celtic will await an offer. And then you have to be careful with timing and everything else. Rangers could have had £16 million for Alfredo Morelos 2 years ago. You wouldn't get a million for him now.
Thank you, Robbie. Francesco Strozzi is the name you're looking for, apparently, according to Raymond on Twitter. So you can sleep easy tonight. And in your latest edition of Let's Compare One Random Player to Another, John Davis says, if Kieran Trippier at 31 is worth 12 million, Juranovic at 27 is 18 million plus. The calculator's very much out. Rangers fans, what about you? No Borna Barisic in the team today. He was on the bench, but he's still part of that Croatia squad. He won't be back for the Hibs game. Last we heard, Yilmaz is still injured. Who on earth is going to play left back? Get your suggestions in right now. 01419511025, and we'll get to you after this.
Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. J&D Pierce, structural steelwork specialist, proud to support the local community.
Well, what an afternoon. Hugh Keevans and I were very lucky to go along to the Cash for Kids lunch at the Hilton in Glasgow. Hugh Keevans, as we speculated at the top of the show, he had a couple of sherbets, I think, but he's fine. He's here, he's good to go. He's got his Christmas waistcoat on.
A man can't go out for an afternoon.
But Hugh, more importantly than your refreshment,
goodness,
more than £400,000 raised for children who need our help this Christmas time. It was an astonishing amount when they read the total out, but we can make that even higher. In fact, we can make it a lot higher, because what a prize we've got for you. We've got a brand new 72 plate Mercedes A-Class. It's a 180 AMG line premium hatchback, perfect for travelling all the way from Annan to Clydebank to do the show, Cammy Bell, if you're ever interested. It really is. I've been out to see the car with Mark Wilson. It is top drawer. And if you want to win it, listen to how easy this is. You just text CAR to 84901. That's CAR to 84901. That gives you a £5 donation to Cash for Kids. And of course, the text costs your standard network rate message as well. So your fiver goes to the children right here that need your help the most, and you might even get a brand new Merc out of it. An incredible prize. The lines close Saturday the 17th of December at 6pm, over 18s only, and the full T's and C's are at Clyde1.com. So don't forget, text CAR, C-A-R, to 84901.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell both here at 0141 951 1025, and it's Twitter at Clyde SSB if you want to get in touch. We've got the World Cup to thank for lots of calls tonight, because Josip Juranovic played very well, and Croatia knocked out the favourites Brazil on penalties. It's good to have the World Cup back after a couple of days leaving us with no football. So if you've got any thoughts there, do pick up the phone. Rangers fans, we're putting you in the spotlight now. We've looked at it from a Celtic perspective. It's not quite the same, because I know Barisic hasn't been playing as much. He's not been in the team as much as Juranovic has. He didn't play today, but he will still be at the World Cup or thereabouts when Hibs come to Ibrox on Thursday. If Yilmaz is still injured, which again, there's nothing to suggest that he's not at this point in time, who on earth is going to play left back against Hibs on Thursday night, Cammy? Is it just, do you just promote from the academy? Do you just promote from the B team? Do you find a square peg and stick it in a round hole?
Yeah, it could be that they put an experienced player in there that can do the job against Hibs. But again, tomorrow's a good game for Rangers to test that position out, because mm-hmm. they're going to have the opportunity to play against a decent opposition and try probably one or two different options if Yilmaz is injured. So it's great that they have a game tomorrow so they can try and rectify that problem they've got for Thursday night.
Yeah, I suppose, Hugh, there would be various reasons. I'm sure Michael Beale thinks tomorrow is beneficial. Oh. But if we're to be position specific, that might be one that you could then look at, try and find a solution tomorrow.
Yeah, first little test of him as the Rangers manager. But I do think that you have to look at Hibs coming up Thursday. 6 defeats in 7 games, 7 defeats in 8 if you count the 2-0 loss to Middlesbrough in a friendly Easter Road. I am quite sure that Michael Beale will come up with a selection that combats Hibs.
No, you can't be counting friendlies and that, especially when they beat Raith Rovers in a friendly as well, and you've not added that. See, he's always with the negative stats.
Didn't suit my argument.
Cammy, I wonder if, I know it sounds dramatic today because Brazil have been beaten, Croatia have gone through. Even if Croatia had gone out today,
yep,
Friday, I don't know, would Borna Barisic have played anyway on Thursday? I'm not sure. How does that work?
I don't think he would have. By the time he obviously gets back over in the country again, he's been away for a period of time from probably Michael Beale's plans.
True. Yeah.
So Michael Beale has been working on his team and the way that he's wanting to implement his style and the shape that he's wanting to play against Hibs on Thursday night. So listen, he'll have a replacement ready, and I'm pretty sure we'll find out tomorrow of who's the most likely player that will fill that left back position.
Dominic's a Rangers fan on the line. Can you play left back, Dominic? Would you give it a go?
good evening, Gordon, Cammy, and Uncle Hugh. No, sorry, if it would be right back. No, for me, on that, Gordon, I think that the only thing I could think of, if Michael Beale's not going to bring anybody into the academy, it would be Lundstrom at centre back with somebody, and possibly James Sands at left back, if that.
Yeah, it might just be something like that, Cammy. Something that's not I'm not going to say it's not exciting, but you know what I mean. It's just, you just shift someone around and do a job for the night. Would that be the case?
Yeah, for me it probably will be. I don't imagine Michael Beale's first, unless he's been really impressed with a player in that position that's been up training with them from the academy. That might be a different story, but for me it'll be probably an experienced player who's comfortable enough on the left-hand side. As you said, Hibs are in really bad form at the moment, so I think they'll be looking at concentrating on the more attacking side of their play and making sure they're scoring goals. Obviously, they need to concentrate on keeping a clean sheet and keeping the door closed at the back for Rangers, but I don't think they'll be worried too much about that left back position.
I hate the expression, but this is a statement game for Rangers against Hibs. It's Michael Beale's first as Rangers manager. It's at home. It's against a team who are in very poor form. And Michael Beale has to stamp his name all over this match. He said football with the handbrake off. Mm-hmm. The Rangers fans are going to Ibrox on Thursday night expecting dramatic football, the kind of football they did not see this season under Giovanni Van Bronckhorst.
Dominic, there's been, it seems like a similar story for the last few days. Talks about, you know, does Ryan Kent have interest from elsewhere? We already know there's big debate about Morelos. Those two are bound by the same contractual situation, which Douglas Park hinted at, maybe be beyond Rangers when he spoke at the AGM today. I flick on Twitter and there's lots of chat about Glenn Kamara. Is it time to let him go, or would you keep him? Where are those players at in your mind?
I think, Gordon, on that, I think we'll start with Glenn Kamara. I think when Michael Beale was here with Steven Gerrard, Kamara, he was a brilliant 50 grand. You can't argue with that. What a buy. And then he was getting touted for all these moves. But then he's just fell away under Gio. But if you're talking about Ryan Kent, Morelos, for me, it's either one or the other. As I said to the producer, I was at that. For me, because Ryan Kent, he's getting touted by the media. Everton are interested in him. But I think that if same Morelos goes, then you've got to tie Ryan Kent down, because you've not got a left winger. But if you manage to keep Morelos and then Ryan Kent unfortunately goes, then for me it would be an obvious replacement, would be possibly a shout for Barry Mackay.
Well, there we are. It'll be obviously returning Cammy. He's a player you'll know well.
Yep.
Has had some brilliant times at Hearts, to be fair. Maybe not as good recently. I don't know, maybe I'm being harsh, but that seems to be what the Hearts fans say. Would that be a Ryan Kent replacement? Now we are getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, listen, I think Barry Mackay is a fantastic footballer. Is he what Rangers need, or I don't know. I think they're looking at probably, if Ryan Kent was to leave, for me, I look at Ryan Kent, he's a match winner. He should be a match winner for Rangers. He's not done it this whole season for me. I think both of them will move on. They need players at the football club who want to be there first and foremost. They can't afford to carry passengers with guys who aren't sure if they want to be there. If they don't want to be there, they need to move them on in January, and that's as simple as that, because these players can become, I'm not saying they're going to become poisonous, but they become a distraction that Michael Beale won't want at the club.
What about Glenn Kamara? It was good to have Andy Halliday on in the week that Michael Beale was appointed, because he'd worked under him before.
Yep.
And he said if there is one teacher's pet in the building for Michael Beale, it is Glenn Kamara. He said he loved Glenn Kamara. I now see reports in France suggesting he could be the subject of a £6 million bid from Nantes.
Well, if Michael Beale has such a high regard for Glenn Kamara, he'll be in the team against Hibs.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the Michael Beale team on Thursday. Ryan Kent and Morelos, I think Cammy's right. If this goes on, it becomes a distraction. If they don't want to be there, go. But I wouldn't be going to Everton. They'll be a championship club next season.
Glenn Kamara, Cammy, is it again? Yes, he's been good, and maybe Michael Beale does love him. Is he one that would maybe fall into the category of, look, it's time, just get money in, move on, refresh, start again?
No, I disagree. I think Glenn Kamara can be rejuvenated, and again, the form that he showed under Steven Gerrard and Michael Beale as a partnership. He was one of the main midfielders for Rangers and played, and the consistency in his performances were phenomenal. And it was really strange to see him drop off so much under Gio. So again, whether it was a clash of personalities or he just didn't suit the style that Rangers then changed to play to, I think Michael Beale will start him, and I think he'll get the best out of him again. I think we'll see the Glenn Kamara we've seen under Gerrard and Michael Beale.
What do you think, Rangers fans? Would you definitely hold on to Glenn Kamara, or if there was a few million quid on the table, would you take it at this stage? Let us know, and we'll speak to you after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Now, of course, there was no Beat the Pundit last night because we had all sorts of fun with our Christmas quiz with Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. But every other night this week, the pundits have won. So this is a chance for you to end the week in style, listeners. Please do. 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7, so I'm not giving you long. And your chance to beat the pundit is next.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell are here at 01419511025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Every caller who gets through to make a point to the panel goes into the hat to win a pair of tickets to a tribute night to the Celtic team that stopped 10 in a row. It's at the Armadillo in May next year, and all you need to do is come on and make a point, and we'll stick you in the hat. So get in touch, let us know what's on your mind this evening, and we'll catch up with you after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Cammy Bell, I don't know how you feel about this news, but okay, the pundits are on a 2-week winning streak. They've not lost since you lost,
since
2 weeks
yeah
ago. Tonight, weeks ago.
I've had a win in that period of time though, so I'm quite happy
you're
with
feeling,
that.
Yeah. Feeling more confident. Let's bring in James in Kings Park. How's it going, James?
Not bad, Gordon, yourself?
Not bad, thank you. Who would you rather face out of these two? Now, I've got two pieces of evidence to offer you. Cammy Bell was the last pundit to lose. Hugh Keevans has been at the Cash for Kids lunch all afternoon. Who would you rather take on?
You've got to go for the big fish. It's got to be Hugh.
Oh, he wants to topple you with your Christmas waistcoat on, Hugh Keevans. Heads, it will be Hugh. Tails, it will be Cammy Bell. Let's find out. And I'm afraid it is tails, Cammy. You're okay, back in the saddle, James against Cammy. So what we do here then is give Cammy some Clyde 2 to listen to, and we'll get the clock ready. James, I'm sure you've heard this many times, but it's 30 seconds. You just answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass, you absolutely can, and we'll move on to the next one, okay?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Your 30 seconds starts right now. Name the first goalkeeper to be named Rangers club captain in 2004.
Stefan Kloss.
Name any player in the current Dutch squad who's previously played in Scotland.
Van Dijk.
Who's currently Celtic's longest serving player?
Cal McGregor.
Which striker at Aberdeen wears the number 99?
Mioski.
What's the largest SPFL stadium outside Glasgow?
Tynecastle.
What former Scotland international defender is now the manager of Exeter City?
Pass.
Okay, let's bring back Cammy Bell. Cammy, can you hear us?
Yes, I'm back.
Good, same set of questions to you then. We'll put 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Name the first goalkeeper to be named Rangers club captain in 2004.
Kloss.
Name any player in the current Dutch squad who's previously played in Scotland.
Van Dijk.
Who's currently Celtic's longest serving player.
James Forrest.
Which striker at Aberdeen wears number 99.
Mioski.
What's the largest SPFL stadium outside of Glasgow?
Tynecastle.
What former Scotland international defender is now the manager of Exeter City?
Gary Caldwell.
Okay. What's the verdict, James?
I think he's done me.
James sounds properly downbeat about that.
I'm quite happy with that as well. I feel
we'll wait and see. It was a nice start from you both. You both got Stefan Kloss, the Rangers club captain, first goalie to do so, 2004. You both went Virgil van Dijk. You could also have gone for... Oh, come on, you were talking about him earlier.
Frimpong.
Jeremy Frimpong. Yes. Would we give Denzel Dumfries an honourable mention just because his name's Dumfries? No.
No.
Right, fair enough. Celtic's longest serving player. It's a toss of the coin, isn't it, James? But you lost, I'm afraid. It's James Forrest, not Callum McGregor. So Cammy goes 3-2 in front. Interestingly, you both went for Miovski and you were both wrong. It's Christian Ramirez. Miovski's 9, Ramirez 99. Yep.
Okay.
The largest stadium outside Glasgow. You both went Tynecastle and you were both wrong. It's Pittodrie.
Pittodrie. I thought that after I said it.
And I'm afraid, James, I think you know that's the end of the road. And he had a bit of time to rub the salt in the wounds. Gary Caldwell is now the manager of Exeter City, which means it was a 4 for Cammy Bell and a 2 for you, James. Hard lines.
That's 3 in a row. I've been beat. I'll not be phoning back.
Oh, James.
Sorry,
I was
going
to say quite well you were ahead, but I don't think that applies. Listen, well, let's not waste it then. Let's make the most of it. What are you thinking about your team? I know you're a Rangers fan. We were just speaking before the break there about Glenn Kamara. I think, you know, reports in France, 6 million. Would you take that, or is he one that can be reborn under Michael Beale?
I kind of agree with what Cammy said. I think he probably played his best football when Gerrard was the manager, but at the same time, we got him for 50 grand, so somebody's going to give you 6 million. You don't look a gift horse in the mouth there. So I would take it because we should be reinvesting maybe somebody a bit younger, because obviously Arfield, Davis, there's a lot of ageing players in the middle of the park, so if we could recycle that money into the team and get somebody maybe a bit younger, possibly better than maybe, but I'm going to go Langdon Aura anyway and see how it looks. But
James is reading my mind. My next question was, are you going along tomorrow? Because I've no idea what sort of crowd. I think when this friendly was announced, no Rangers fan would have been planning to go along, because they just lost to St Mirren and everyone was raging. But all of a sudden, starved of football, a new manager, albeit it's freezing cold, but I'm sure plenty will still go along. James, is that the thought? Just get along and get a sneak peek of what Michael Beale can do.
Aye, so I do a lot of shift work, so I don't get a chance to go to many of the games. So I just thought, I'm off, I'll go and have a swatch and see how it looks. But I don't know if Beale would have been my first pick, but I don't know. We'll see. I'm optimistic, we'll say that.
Is there any standout options at complete left back that we've not thought of, considering Borna Barisic will be staying at the World Cup?
Well, I played left back, so I'm going to take my boots and see if I can get a game.
Go on, Jamesy.
You know, it's like when it's become a sort of modern phenomenon, or maybe it's just publicised more because of social media. You go along to see like your favourite band or whatever, and they hold up, they say, "Can I play the drums?" And then they invariably invite somebody up, and they're always amazing, and the video goes viral and gets 5 million hits. What are the chances? It's never a dud that gets asked on stage. I wonder if that's the next thing, because I think everyone agrees that the "Can I have your shirt" signs need to go straight in the bin. Yeah. Unacceptable. Maybe the next one is, "Can I play left back for even 10 minutes?"
I always want to replace Bobby Elliott in the Hollies, but they never gave me the chance.
Who was the guest act at the Cash for Kids lunch? Now, bear in mind, yes, you have a responsibility to talk this up and make it out as if it was a brilliant afternoon, which it was, but I don't think you were overly impressed.
No, Peter Andre is not quite cup of tea.
You should have seen when Mysterious Girl came on. The Dazzler was, he was throwing a few shapes. Gordon DL,
I heard he's nearly 50 and he was looking well for it.
Is he nearly 50?
That's what I heard, yeah.
Well, is Mysterious Peter Andre nearly 50?
Mysterious Girl, good for that. When he was introducing the song, by my calculation, is 25 years old. So
had to be 49. Oh, he's looking fresh for that. Yeah.
Is he?
I'll give
is
him
he
that
good?
Much. Oh yeah.
When I tell my youngest daughter tonight that I was at a Peter Andre show, she'll be really impressed, because she was 16 when Mysterious Girl came out.
I don't think Hugh was impressed. Let's put it that way, right?
Well, still got the abs, or what?
I kept them under wraps, which I think tells its own story. James, enough about him. I don't think Peter Andre will play left back. Is it not that big a deal? I know Hibs fans will get angry, but Rangers would be favourites regardless of who plays left back. Is it just a case of sticking a James Sands or someone else in there, or is it a young player?
I think, well, for me, I would be looking at the B team. I know the boy Lovelace, I know he's a striker, has been training with the team and stuff, so surely there's got to be somebody, if it's B team, under 18, somebody that can play left back. Even play them in the friendly tomorrow and then see how they go on, even if it's, you know, to kind of at least start the game with a set formation, and then if it needs to be changed, that's fine. But you would think, you know, they talk about how, I know Rangers haven't really brought MD through, Nathan Patterson went for big money, but in terms of bringing players through, there's not been many, but there's got to be somebody that can play left back, you know what I mean? Like, it's, and after like that, maybe put, like you said, a square peg in a round hole. But for me, there's got to be a young boy that can play left back in the bother.
Not going to suddenly see something radical, Cammy, like 3-5-2 with Ryan Kent as a left wing back. You don't think that's the Michael Beale way?
No, I don't think it is. But listen, we don't know. We don't know what he's been working on for the past 2 weeks. So it will be interesting whether he does give a young lad an opportunity to see how he gets on as a natural left back. I'm not sure. Or if they've been working, building up to this game and had somebody like James Sand in that position to see. Mm-hmm. Because listen, I'm absolutely pretty sure they'll have been playing 11v11 games between themselves and training just to shape up and get the sort of the style of play and the formation that Michael Beale's going to implement tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a young left back who's just come back from injury to the B team. I'll call him Kevin. I won't butcher his surname because I haven't had the chance to check out exactly how you say it. I think he's Romanian. But he's just come back. Whether that's one that you see, whether it's far too soon for that, we would maybe find out. Thank you to James. Enjoy the game tomorrow. I hope you've got long johns. You're going to need them.
Looking at
you don't miss this time of the year, Hugh. Oh, no, you're reporting on the games. Cammy, where were you last night?
Oh, I was at a very cold Falkirk last night.
No.
Yeah, it was very, very cold.
That the SPFL Trust Trophy, was it?
Yes, it was. Falkirk versus Dundee, and it was probably a disappointing game for Falkirk. First half, Dundee absolutely battered them, very, very in control. And I was impressed by Zach Rudden, done really, really well, and a comfortable win for them.
Here's a sentence that's literally never been said before, Hugh.
Oh,
from the SPFL Trust Trophy to the World Cup. I don't think we've ever made that transition before. We've got Netherlands against Argentina now. We were all caught up in the first hour of the show on Croatia's brilliant penalty shootout win against Brazil and what that meant for Juranovic and what it means for this tournament. What I've just realised, what this means on the screen right now is me versus you in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard sweepstake. I have the Netherlands, you have Argentina. May the best man win.
I also have Croatia.
You're joking.
I am in line
for
the prize.
To be fair, I also have England, so I've got two teams left, but my goodness, I'm emotionally torn. I don't want to win the sweepstake that much, believe me.
Well, there's a member of staff here who I shall not name, who is now in a state of high anxiety over the thought of England winning the World Cup.
Ah, so football rivalry, don't mind that. So what was it looking like then? Because Mark Wilson, unlucky Mark, he's gone. He thought he had it in the bag. He was Brazil, so you knocked him out earlier on.
Yeah.
You're looking to knock me out. Gordon DL's still there, unfortunately, with Portugal.
Me and Josip Juranovic have gone further in the World Cup than we had anticipated.
Cammy, I've got a gift for you.
Go on then.
Kenny Miller got France.
All right, okay.
Then had the cheek, the temerity to leave us and go to Huddersfield or whatever for some sort of coaching job.
Nonsense job.
You've inherited his France.
I'll take that all day long.
That's not bad, is it?
And I really pray for them to win tomorrow night.
I was going to say, you carry the hopes of a nation here, so don't let us down. You can have France. All right, producer Callum's buzzed in my ear about 10 times here to remind me that he's got Morocco. Who else have you got? Who else? Have you got two teams in it? Oh, Switzerland. Good, right.
Callum, you enjoy Morocco tomorrow, all right?
He's the underdog, I guess, Morocco. But you never know. Did well to get there. Is there a lot of people, quite simply, hoping that Messi goes on and wins this thing? Cammy, is it more about him than unnecessarily a love for Argentina?
Yeah, I think it is, and he's made it clear that obviously this is going to be his last one. He's getting towards the end of his career, and just how brilliant he's been, his career's been as well, and what a fantastic player. There's been glimpse of it in this tournament of how good he is as a player still. He's maybe lost a yard or two of his pace, but with the ball at his feet, he's an absolute genius. And it would almost be criminal that he finishes his career and he's not won the World Cup, because some people judge the best all-time player the guys that have won World Cups. But ultimately, it would be good to see him. I think it would be an amazing achievement for him and for obviously their country.
I think some people now judge you on Champions League success.
Yeah.
As opposed to World Cup success. But whichever way it splits, Lionel Messi will go and probably to the MLS in Miami, where he has a home, and good luck to him, because he has been a wonderful, wonderful player.
Well, goalless at the moment, with 18 gone, Netherlands 0, Argentina 0. Netherlands haven't conceded too many, have they, Cammy? Unless I'm mistaken. You just wonder if this could be another one that heads the distance. Argentina have had their moments.
Yep.
But again, they've not blown the tournament away so far.
No, again, you're right that Netherlands are quite a stuffy team and don't concede many goals. They've not got, where past years we've went by, they've had star players and they've not really got that. They've got a couple of really good quality players, but nobody that I would say is their star man. Argentina, as you say, have had periods in the World Cup that they've been really, really good flashes. I think the majority of the games that are left will, again, this one I could see absolutely going to extra time, potentially penalties, and same with France and England tomorrow. That for me will be a really, really tight game.
Everyone's just getting over Croatia though, aren't they, Hugh? I think it's funny because I was under the impression that Brazil were kind of everyone's favourite other team. It's like the yellow strips, they like the samba stuff, they like the wonderful players they've got. I'm seeing a lot of widespread joy, not just from Celtic fans with Juranovic on their mind, but a lot of widespread joy that plucky underdogs, what is it, 4.5 million population in Croatia did the business earlier.
And the old tea towels for shirts, you know, the handsome strip, good team. They had to withstand a lot of pressure today, but Juranovic rose to the occasion, and in penalty kicks, Croatia were just fantastic.
Yeah, look, there's clearly more to it than this, but they're machines, Cammy. They're clearly more than this, right? But I don't know if you've seen, have you seen the stats doing the rounds about Brozovic?
No. Nope.
He's covered the most distance in every game he's played at the World Cup. Now, you see these flash up on Champions League nights, don't you? What is it, elite level? You're looking, maybe, is it kind of 12K do you sometimes see? Yep. Today against Brazil, 15.7.
Phenomenal.
He set the record back at the 2018 World Cup, and then he broke it again a couple of days ago. Just outrageous.
Yeah, and again, that's the work ethic within that team, and you can see it. That they're an experienced team. They do very well in tournaments. We've seen it over recent years. They're there or thereabouts most of the time. They are, I would say they've got some aging players, obviously Luka Modric being one that probably, again, is going to be his last one. So, but they've still got some quality. But again, I think their work ethic is phenomenal throughout the team.
He's another one, 37, played 120 minutes and sticks his penalty away confidently as well, Hugh Keevans.
I couldn't do 15k in a taxi.
Well, you'd give it a good go, Lord Lift. I think you would give it a good go, right? 01419511025. Great time to call because you could be in next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Cammy Bell. Quite frankly, not great at the full time teaser. Am I being unfair?
No.
You're just not a formidable duo.
Yeah.
Is that alright? Is that fair? And Cammy, I hate to break it to you.
Okay.
I think you're going to be relying a lot on your colleague here.
The questions have been a bit.
This one is more up his street than yours, I think. But you could chip in, you can help him along the way. What just happened there?
A coin fell.
From where?
No idea.
From your wallet?
We've got a poltergeist.
Oh, that's the coin that I stick to the screen for Beat the Pundit. We need new blue tack for Christmas, producer Callum. Get it on the list. Right, your question tonight is from Keith Plenderleith, who's sent it in. Thank you very much to Keith, all the way from Redland Bay. Do you know where that is?
Australia.
Queensland, Australia. Yeah. Well done. Is that an educated guess?
Yes.
I thought it just sounds Australian, doesn't it? He sent it all the way in, and he wants you to name the 10 Scotland players that have scored one and only one goal at a World Cup finals since 1974. So they have to have scored at the World Cup, but they can only have scored the one. Multiple goal scorers do not count. Not that we've got that many, by the way, who've banged in multiple goals at a World Cup, but can you name 10 players that have one and only one World Cup goal since 1974?
Craig Burley.
Craig Burley scored the most recent one, didn't he, in 1998. Go on, don't let him steal the other 98 one, Cammy.
Don't, because it was in my head. And
you take the worst blank on these ever.
I know.
You definitely, you know this one. Even you know this one. No offence.
Johnny Collins.
There we are.
Yeah.
He's just stolen it from you.
That's fine.
Any more, Hugh?
Peter Lorimer.
Yes, 1974.
Go on,
well
Hugh.
Done. We will leave it there then. Let's see if we can get them all back. By the end of the show, we're looking for 10 players that have scored one but only one goal at a World Cup final. So thanks again to Keith. You don't have to be all the way from Australia to send these in. We'll take them from down the road, Australia, wherever. But the address you need is the same: fulltime at Clyde1.com. That's fulltime at Clyde1.com. Send me an email and I'll do my best to use your question on the show, and hopefully the pundits will struggle to come up with your answers. That is the name of the game. 28 gone. It's Netherlands 0, Argentina 0. It's not much happening, Cammy Bell. Have the Netherlands probably had the best sights at goal?
Yeah, and there's not been many sights at goal, to be honest, yet. Both teams have struggled to find a rhythm in the game. It's been quite scrappy, to be honest. Turnover of possession quite a lot. Netherlands a couple of half chances, but nothing really on target yet.
Yeah, nothing doing, but we will keep you updated. Let's bring in William, who's a Rangers fan. What's your point tonight, William?
Hello, Gordon, Cammy, Stuart.
Hello.
Yeah, I was listening to your debate earlier about the left back position for next week's Hibs game. Mm-hmm. I think it's Steady United face with the young boy Devine. He's a fullback, and right backs no play left back, and left back no play right back. I think Cammy, I'm not sure if he played under Walter Smith his second spell. He used to switch Stephen Whittaker left back, right back all the time, and all the way through Alan Hutton and people like that, Papach, he used to switch them all the time. As the Q says, if he can't beat Hibs, he might be able to pack it in, you know what I mean?
No offence, Hibs fans, if you're listening. William right here? I mean, throughout the years, there have been some extremely high profile examples, of course.
Yeah.
McGrain and Jardine, and we argued time and time again for Tierney and Robertson in Scotland. So before anyone gets carried away, I am not sticking young Adam Devine in that bracket. But no. William's general question was, can right backs no play left back anyway?
Correct. Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. If you're a player at all, you'll be able to manage
Come
it.
On.
No, but Adam Devine is Rangers tomorrow. And, you know, as I say, this will be a very interesting team selection on the part of Michael Beale. Kamara, if he has such a high regard for him, will surely feature. If you are looking at the players of tomorrow, then Devine's got to get a look in there. These are important times for Michael Beale, because William and the earlier caller who lost to Cammy and beat the pundit, they're going to Ibrox tomorrow, and they want to see this brave new world that Michael Beale has promised them. The fans, I remember one caller onto the programme during Giovanni Van Bronckhorst's early part of the season, and he said, "Watching this team may cause drowsiness." And I thought it was a great quote from a caller. Now, the Rangers team, the fans have been promised a team that plays with the handbrake off, and that's got to be from tomorrow in a friendly. So why not Devine?
Yeah, would you, so Hugh, would you put Devine straight in a left back, or would you move Tavernier over
that's
at left back?
That's what I was going to say.
With more experience.
Yeah.
Then what you could look at is, does that then take away from Tavernier's game? But which I wouldn't say has been completely on form this season. So, but for me, I would probably put the experienced player into left back and give Devine an opportunity to go and play in his natural position as right back. I've watched Devine this season. I think he's a very talented player. I watched him in when Rangers played Queen of South in the League Cup, and he was really, really good that night. Really strong up and down that right hand side. Very good technically as well. So yeah, I would have no problem with him going in at right back. But then, are you throwing him under the bus a little bit and putting him in at a left back position that's not his natural position? So for me, it would probably be switching Tavernier over to that left back position.
The point of friendlies is multi-purpose.
Yeah.
And yes, of course, move the more experienced man and let Devine play in his natural position. It won't phase James Tavernier. And the overall aim tomorrow is for Michael Beale to play in a style, even though it's a friendly, in a style that brings people along next Thursday for the game against Hibs, thinking, I like the way this is going.
What do you think, William? Do you stick the young man in a position he's not familiar with, or do you put your captain there, ask him to do a turn and let Devine play in his normal role?
Yeah, that's a great point, but Cammy, I wasn't thinking. I switched to Vernier, yeah. But that's my point as well with the young. You're talking about the young one. See that boy Lowry, right? It's all about opinions this year, right? He's the best prospect to see in Durant, in my opinion, right? That boy needs to play. He's that good. He just needs games under his belt. You need to, as you're talking about the left back position, you need to get these good young players we'll go in the team. That boy Lowry is going to be an outstanding player. Best prospect since Ian Durant, in my opinion. What do you think of that, guys?
Cammy?
Yeah, well, big quote that, since Ian Durrant, because Ian Durrant was, for me, one of the best all-time players. If he didn't get the injury that he got, who knows what he would have done. Listen, I absolutely rate Alex Lowry. I think he's a fantastic, talented player. He's been very unfortunate with his injury this season. I would have expected him to play a lot more football for Rangers in the first team.
But there must have been something more in it after the injury, though. Yeah. I mean, he's 7 minutes is all he's played for the first team this season. There was that moment in one of the press conferences when Rangers weren't in a good run.
Yep.
Giovanni Van Bronckhorst was asked if he was fit. He said he's fit, but he's not in the squad because other players deserve to be there. And loads of Rangers fans were sort of saying, Who deserves to be there at the moment? Because we're not doing very well. Again, you wonder, is tomorrow a clue? Could he be one that maybe becomes a favourite of Michael Beale?
Yeah, it's a new era for Alex Lowry and all the rest of the Rangers players. And I remember that quote from Giovanni, and I thought, do you know what, who deserves to be there? Can you tell me the players that actually deserve to be there? Because they weren't performing at that time. So that's when you've got to get players in there who can, for me, Alex Lowry, when I've watched him come into the first team, gives a spark, gives an energy. He's got that creativity to unlock defences. He wants to play forward. He's brave. He's a young, talented player who nothing phases him at the moment. So I would be absolutely trying to put him in the team if they can. It is an ageing Rangers midfield as well, so you want to try and breed him in.
This is a Rangers team, I think, who had some very impressive friendly performances in the summer. And fast forward a couple of months, they've been the manager, everything is in turmoil. So there's clearly only so much you can take from a friendly, Cammy. But I do wonder if, given this unique set of circumstances, Hugh's been talking about, we've never been here before. We've never had this random November break for a World Cup. Rangers have changed their manager. He needs to hit the ground running, limited time to get it right. Do you think, actually, although it is just the friendly, hold on, as Argentina score, it's a wonderful pass from Lionel Messi, and the ball ends up in the back of the net. He's the creator, not the finisher this time. And it's Netherlands 0, Argentina 1. I wonder if, specifically because of the nature of tomorrow's friendly, Cammy, do you think Michael Beale names his full strong team, the team that he believes is the one for him, minus Borna Barisic?
Yeah, I would imagine he would start with that. I think there'll be a lot of changes because, listen, Thursday isn't far away. It's a league game. It's really important that they get 3 points on Thursday night. Tomorrow's all about, for me, is getting his team on the pitch that he probably sees at this moment in time as he's starting 11 that's available. And then
I'm sorry, that the pass from Messi, I've just seen it back. Carry on though, and we'll get to him in a minute.
So again, I would say we'll start with the team that he wants, but there'll be a lot of changes tomorrow. I think players will play 60 minutes and then that'll be probably enough. But it's all about implementing the way he wants to do it, the way he wants to play. And again, it's trying to give the Rangers fans that lift that they need at the moment. They want to see a performance because they've not had a performance for a long time now.
The break began after a rubbish performance against St Mirren at Paisley. Since then, everything has changed. Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has gone. Michael Beale has come in. Tomorrow is about Michael Beale's philosophy on football. It may be that in the last half hour it turns into a bit of an exhibition match and players are brought on in big numbers. But in the first half, there's got to be a sign for the Rangers fans that the right man's in charge, picks the right team, approaches the game in the proper manner. And that's why he has to start with the team that will be, because Barisic will not be back for the Hibs game. So the team that will play against Hibs, I think, should start tomorrow.
Okay, which is all well and good. And thank you to William. But talk to me about that pass from Lionel Messi, Cammy.
Absolutely phenomenal. Wow. Again, he's looking in the opposite direction and he plays a pass that through the eye of a needle. It's phenomenal. And again, that's what, just you look at that guy and you really, for me, I absolutely want him to win the World Cup just for moments of magic like that. And he's done it for years as well.
I'm not saying this gets forgotten. I'm not trying to pretend this is a unique thought that I've stumbled upon. But you do still get the sense that, you know, he's a famous dribbler, a famous goal scorer. He's probably the best passer in the world as well. And that maybe doesn't quite get acknowledged to the same extent as his other weapons.
I think because he dribbles with the ball for so long and nobody can take it off him. And that's probably, everyone thinks of Lionel Messi, the ball sticks to his feet. But passes like that, he's done for so many years, created so many goals, and only special players can play a pass like that.
I mean, he's obviously looked early. The beauty of modern day football, with goodness knows how many cameras are on here, HD 4K cap. There's a brilliant view where the camera almost zooms in on his face as he's running, and at no point for the last, what seems like 5 seconds before he releases the ball, is he looking anywhere near the player. He can obviously just see him in his peripheral vision, corner of his eye, and manages to execute it. And it's brilliant.
It's an unbelievable reverse pass, and it's right in his path, and pitch perfect. It's amazing. And again, it's only special talents that can do that. And for me, I really do hope he wins the World Cup.
I mean, Molina played a part. He's the one that sticks it in the net, of course, Hugh. And it's first blood to you in the you versus me. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
This may be my day. Croatia first.
Derby.
Now, Argentina. I think you've gone from this competition.
There would be some sort of poetic justice if you, the worst tipster ever to grace the game, got the two. In fact, Argentina can't meet Croatia in the final, can they? Oh, it's a real shame. Just imagine the final with your two teams. But you could get two of the final four.
Yeah,
and it's because it was a luck of the draw. You weren't asked to predict a single thing.
This is a World Cup that began poorly. People didn't want it to be staged in the country where it is taking place, but it's more than come alive. We don't care what Gordon Dale says.
Right, let's check in on tonight's teaser. We're looking for 10 players who've scored one and only one goal for Scotland at a men's World Cup since 1974. You've given me the two most recent, Burnley and Collins, France 98. You've then gone back to 74 to give me Peter Lorimer.
I'm taking you to 1982.
Hold on, I want Cammy
to
give me one first.
Don't steal mine. I've got a couple.
He's been working hard on this.
I've got a couple that again are just sort of before my era. Dalglish.
Yes. He's got two. He's got two, so he doesn't count.
I've got a couple here.
Okay.
Gemmell, Arch Gemmell.
He's got two.
Souness.
He's got one. Well done.
Oh yes.
Right, Hugh. What else are you going?
Davy Neary.
Against
Brazil.
Just in case anyone hadn't heard. 1982, 1, 2, that's 5. Any more guesses, Cammy? You all out?
I'm all out.
Any more educated guesses, Hugh?
Did Stuart McCall get
it? Stuart McCall got one in 1990.
Brilliant.
Your old pal, Cammy Bill. Well done. We'll get the rest of them next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Hugh Keevans are here. 0141 951 1025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. And this will be your final chance to get in touch this weekend. We're off tomorrow, Hugh Keevans. The rarest of Saturdays off. Are you going to spend it wisely?
No.
Great.
My better half has had a shopping spree.
Oh, I actually know what this is about, Cammy. I'm going to interrupt his story.
Okay.
I get to the Cash for Kids lunch this afternoon. And there's my esteemed colleague Hugh Keevans. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. First thing he does is points at me, reaches into his pocket and pulls out the Nokia. I'm like, what is this? What technological issue is he having now, right? And he asks me to go into his text messages, which is an interesting place to be, and pull up a message from IKEA because they've sent him a link about the guy who's coming to build his flat pack furniture. Now, of course, you can't click links on the Nokia. So there I am at the Cash for Kids lunch, forwarding this text to myself, then trying to click the link, then trying to log in to his IKEA handyman account. Who knew such a thing existed? And we never got there in the end.
No.
You might have to build it. There's a thought.
No. I'm told there's someone called Frank. Frank, if you're listening,
get shameless.
Get there quick.
Absolutely. So someone anyway, is now coming to build it.
I've got to take other stuff that's getting thrown out. I've got to take it to charity shop.
Fair enough.
That's
okay.
My day off. That's right. My super scoreboard substitute day.
Mm-hmm. As a student of the game, Cammy, are you taking in any of the big SPFL Trust Trophy games?
Actually, tomorrow I'm not. Done last night's one, and then tomorrow I'm actually having a day out in Edinburgh. So a few sherbets tomorrow.
Lovely. A Christmas day out.
Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Oh, that's what.
So if anyone listening to in Edinburgh and sees me, buy me a
stay
pint
away.
Please
stay away. I mean, we've got tonight Alloa Queen of the South or Brotham Firmland in the SPFL Trust Trophy. Tomorrow Elgin Clyde. Jim Duffy, are we up to Elgin?
Oh, I know.
Raith Morton, that's a good one. Hamilton Inverness £3 to get in.
Correct.
As the man told us the other night. And of course, Cammy saw Dundee beating Falkirk 3-0 last night. Very a history making day on Sunday, by the way, at Tynecastle. Any Rangers fans from this part of the world who want to go along? It's Rangers taking on Hibs. It's the Sky Sports Cup. It's the Women's League Cup, if you like. And it is the first ever domestic women's game in Scotland, Hugh, to be broadcast live on Sky Sports.
Yeah,
so
very interesting.
Another step in that journey to try and increase visibility and try and build the game.
Yeah, you know, people always complain that the ladies don't get sufficient coverage. Well, here we are, history-making moment, live TV.
I think the Rangers case study is an interesting one, Cammy, because they've obviously made a commitment as a club now to sort of go professional, go full time, put a bit more resource behind it. Won the league unbeaten at the start of this league. So they want to now become a sort of regular winning machine, if you like, and start adding silverware. And they've had experience of Champions League. So for them on their journey of trying to build in that regard, and I don't think any team's won this competition more than Hibs, so they'll be looking to try and cause a bit of an upset.
Yeah, it's huge. Rangers have invested a lot of money and resources towards the women's game, which is absolutely brilliant to see, because it's grown so much in this country. We see what it's doing in England and we're trying to get there. And it was great the other week to see obviously Hibs playing Hearts and over 8,000 people at Easter Road watching that game, a women's game. So it's phenomenal that the way the women's game is growing, and hopefully that can continue.
You've kind of taken these big significant steps. I know they were going for a record crowd for a women's international recently, and I think you took your
yes,
daughter
I did, yep.
to Hampden.
Yep.
So these are the types of landmarks that have to keep being hit.
Yeah, definitely. We need to keep plugging it. We need to keep pushing it. The standard's getting so much better, the coverage, and it's great that the TV companies are now buying into it. We're talking about it, and we need to continue with that, because ultimately that's the way that England have went. They've marketed their game really, really well, and the crowds they're getting down there are phenomenal, growing every single year. And we need to do the exact same, because the talent up here is really good as well, and we want our national team to be as strong as they can be.
Yeah, enjoy that game if you go along on Sunday, and if you can't, then you can for the first time switch on Sky Sports and see the game live there as well. So a bit of a different one for the Sky Sports Cup final on Sunday. Let's finish off with Sean in Hillington on the phone. What's your point tonight, Sean?
It's about Juranovic. I mean, it's linked in the paper with a £10 million move to Athletic Madrid. See his performance today, I would be maybe doubling that.
Yeah, it's a theme that we've been on earlier in the show, Hugh. I don't know if you follow this. And by the way, I'm obviously being tongue-in-cheek. I've got no idea what influence KFC can have on a transfer valuation, but for some reason, for whatever reason, KFC on Twitter, do you see this earlier or not?
No.
They tweeted a meme. Don't ask me to explain what that is. No. It's not a picture. KFC tweeted saying Celtic to offers for Juranovic after the World Cup, and they've got a meme, and it sort of says yesterday's price is not today's price.
Yeah.
And you just wonder if that is genuinely how some people inside Celtic Park will be looking at it.
Well, of course they have to look at it that way,
because I mean, it's in one hand it's just 190 minutes,
yeah,
but on the other you can kind of see that logic.
He came a Croatian international. He is now a Croatian international who has excelled in a World Cup finals. Therefore, today's price is different from yesterday's price, and tomorrow we'll see who wants to get involved in the auction, because it will be an auction now. Celtic clearly know they're losing him. Ange Postecoglou has said you'll need to get used to the idea that some will go. They may be favourites of yours, but they'll go. Because Celtic, that's the Celtic model, and they have exercised that model exceptionally well. You get them in for a certain fee on the low side, and then you get them out with big money, and Juranovic must surely now fall into that category.
Is today's price different from yesterday's price, Cammy?
Yeah, and it is, and it's purely on the World Cup. I mean, his price has massively went up.
I mean specifically today and yesterday. So I mean this game.
Yep, yeah, definitely. And listen, for me, Hugh's right. Juranovic looks as if he's going to go. the best thing for Celtic fans that could happen is Croatia win the World Cup. Uh-huh. His value probably then being a right back, winning a World Cup, will double from what it is just now.
Sean, are you fine? You know, you fine with that? You content? Is that just the way it is? Get the right price in, move him on, see what Alistair Johnson can do.
And that's what I was going to say. Ange has already signed a replacement for him, and going by Ange's signings, they're quite good.
They're quite good. I mean, I think some would be considered better than quite good.
Yeah.
I guess Hugh, I think there were stories today about Ediguchi perhaps moving on. Ange Postecoglou is only human. You don't get them all right.
No.
He was brought in at a time to bolster the squad when they probably needed it. It wasn't a big deal that he couldn't get in the starting 11. The injury at Alloa, but he's now not even really bolstered in the squad in a sense. So you wonder if it is time to move him on.
Yeah, he just doesn't feature on the horizon. So he would go. But the Celtic model for a long number of years now, you go back to Victor Wanyama and Ki Sung-Yong and all the rest of them, Celtic have made a fortune out of this type of business, and Juranovic is going to be the next chapter.
Well, we'll see. Thank you, Sean. That was Sean in Hillington to round things off. It is half time in the World Cup. It's Netherlands 0, Argentina 1. It's not been a brilliant cameo, not been loads of goal mouth action, but a half lit up by a certain Argentinian number 10. What a pass! An Argentina lead at the break.
Yeah, anybody gets the opportunity to see that pass or has seen that pass, it's one of the best you will see. The way that Messi glides away from a player and then just slides it down through two or three players.
You figured he probably takes out five players with one pass when you look at it.
Five with one pass and beats one as well. So that's six players he's took out of the Netherlands team. And it's just phenomenal. It's great to watch. As you say, the camera's on his face when you see
he's
it.
Not even looking.
Oh, phenomenal.
Okay, you're looking for four more players who've scored for Scotland at a World Cup, but they've only scored once.
Oh.
So Cammy gave me like Dalglish and Gemmell, but they've got multiple goals at World Cups. You've given me Lorimer, Collins, Burley, Souness, Neary and Stuart McCall. I think that's four to get.
Gordon McQueen.
Gordon McQueen does not. Hugh Keevan since 74.
I've got a couple here and I know a few are wrong probably.
Oh great, that's good confidence. Yep.
Mo Johnson.
Yes, it was in 1990. Have more confidence, Cammy Bell.
Joe Jordan, I know he's got more.
He's got four. How do you just forget it?
Next one.
You're doing so well.
Gordon Strachan.
Yep, one. Was that not the famous celebration?
Yes.
He tried to lift his leg over the advertising board. And
that's me all out.
86. Hugh.
John Robertson.
Brilliant. That's the one I thought you might forget. So how many is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. One
Come
more.
Come on, Hugh. We were getting criticised off of him before this.
I know.
Made me eat my words. Okay.
We scored five against Zaire. Is it that match?
He got one in 1982 and he got none in 86. So he went to two World Cups, scored in 82.
Position?
Yeah, forward striker. Forward.
Eric Black?
No. You know, there are certain things that would link him and Eric Black, I guess.
Aberdeen.
Where was the World Cup in 1982, Hugh Keevans?
Spain.
Right. This guy also played
Stevie
in Spain.
Stevie Archibald.
Ah, you didn't even get the chance to finish my clue. Well done, Hugh Keevans. Stevie Archibald. Thank you, Cammy. Thank you, Hugh. And thank you. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your calls, your tweets, your company on this Friday night. We're nearly there, folks. We made it together. Next week, the Scottish Top Flight is back, and I cannot wait. So make sure you join us on Monday night. Enjoy your weekend off. Ali Wright will be on in place of us. Monday, Roger Hannah and Andy Halliday, and GBX Anthems up next.